افضل.
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just scream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too
Bobby
intense.
Parker, I assume he's going to come out to the microphones now and make a statement. Looks like the family is there, and they're getting ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen to her.
My name's Robbie Parker.
Hello. This is Rose Nyer. What?
That was
I'm one of the winners of the Publisher's Clearinghouse. Ed McMahon wants to see me right away.
Who is this ghastly man?
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And you must be the Monopoly guy.
It has to be. It is Photoshopped, but it's has to be. It is Photoshopped, but it's
until
has
I
to
found
be.
This photo from Grandmere State Park. This is from Joshua Nowicki. And what you're seeing here is a mirage. We typically would not be able to see this from the Lake Michigan shore.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. What we're doing today is My Awakening, episode number 19. For those of you that aren't familiar with the series, what the My Awakening videos are is I interview various people in the different research communities. Most of the people that I've known for a little bit of time and at least know their views on certain topics enough to want to interview them and whatnot. And some of them I've known for several years. Like today's guest. Simone, are you here? I don't see you in the video feed. I think Simone might have dropped out. Hold on, guys. Can you guys hear me? Everybody hear me fine? It looks like I lost Simone for a minute. That's not good. Let me see if I... what happened?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay.
Oh, all right. I didn't see your...
Yeah, I muted the mic, and I don't know what happened. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you guys get the 30-minute... I know people got the 30-minute notification. Did you guys get the live notification? I didn't get one. But either way, just let me know in the chat, and I'll continue on here. So what I do, guys, is I interview various researchers in the different communities. And Simone is somebody that I've known for well over several years now. And Simone, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. So, Simone, what would you say, like, first made you realize that the governments of the world and the media or whatnot were, you know, completely controlled to the point that it was time for you to, you know, research things on your own? Or maybe it was you realized educational, the medical system was BS, or religion. What was the awakening trigger moment for you?
It's a strange thing to talk about awakening. It happened in layers. There wasn't any one time where I got the whole truth in one day. I think before 9/11, I understood that government was always going to be corrupt because it's run by people, and people are always susceptible to becoming corrupted. But I, at the time, before 9/11, I didn't think anything was wrong with the way our government was designed. I thought it was more about the people running it were corrupt. But and I still had faith that there was a chance to restore accountability to this system. It wasn't until after 9/11 After 9/11, I knew something wasn't right. I didn't know what was wrong with 9/11, but I knew this was about propaganda and not about terrorism. I knew it within the first few days. It was very obvious to me. And that sent me down a very long and dark path in my research. I knew there was something wrong, and I kept digging and digging and digging. And it happened in stages. But I would say that the real turning point was when I saw the documentary Zeitgeist. And I have different.
A lot of people talk about that.
Right. I have different views about it now, but at the time, it was a very valuable stepping stone. And I think after that, I became kind of, it was a kind of a spiritual death. After that, I knew the government wasn't broken. It was designed to enslave us after that. And that changed everything. And then I became obsessive. I researched everything, medical industry, government and politics, just about everything under the sun. The educational system, in science, the science itself, too, is another area. It's just about everything.
Yeah. Corrupted. So when you started looking into so when you saw Zeitgeist, which was a big one for you, and I know what you're saying about, you know, now you have totally different views on it. I'm the same way. Almost all of these documentaries, of course, especially like, you know, with 9/11 and stuff, like I know something like Loose Change is full of tons of info, but for somebody just starting, I'd probably still send them there.
Right.
Because you get people and you take those baby steps.
Right, they're at a different place than we are. So for where they are, it's a good starting
point. Yeah. Yeah, you can't come to somebody and just, you know, start dropping some, you know, something way past what they're ready for.
I had no idea how deep it went because I thought those you know, like Peter Joseph that created Zeitgeist, and then the other truthers that I got sucked into at the time was Alex Jones and Mark Dice and Luke Rutkowski and all those people. And I thought that those people were speaking up for the truth, and I had no idea until later that they were controlled opposition. And then that was just another spiritual death right there, that they have such a tight control over us that they even control the opposition. It was mind-boggling to me, you know.
Yeah, we all fall into that trap. When did you first see the Zeitgeist, and then when and how did you first start to realize that some of these people like Alex Jones were not speaking for the truth, or were mixing a lot of truth with lies? Like, when did you first realize that?
It became more obvious when they started making more money at it, and then trying to suppress they were trying to control the narrative, and that it was becoming less open-minded discussions and more controlled narrative.
Yeah, because that's what it was for me, is like, because for my story, you know, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but the way Alex Jones would attack No Plane is for 9/11, it was just that, just for me, was like, yeah, all right,
it didn't make any sense why he would get so angry. I understand, you know, everyone has their own ideas about what's going on, but he would get extremely angry, and it's like there's something more going on there. And then I heard a bunch of stuff about Alex Jones possibly being involved in COINTELPRO, and he never criticizes Israel, so that right there just told me that you can't trust the guy, you know.
Did you get into any of the other ones, like David Icke or any of the other well-known ones? Because I know that they're the same idea, but they're kind of talking about some other different theories and whatnot, and some people go down that way.
Oh yeah, David Icke, I still think he has valuable things to say, but you know, like any truther, don't ever go to one resource for all your knowledge, you know. That's always a mistake. And you know, David Icke, take what he says with a grain of salt. Sometimes he has valuable insights, but when he talks about reptilians and alien stuff, and you know, just kind of take it with a grain of salt, you know. He's probably controlled opposition too, but you know, there's grains of truth in, you know, what they leak out through these things.
Yeah, and even if X, Y, and Z are controlled opposition, well, you have to use your discernment, and you can't let yourself fall into that controlled opposition trap. You have to be able to take what you can from it. Like, okay, for instance, with Alex Jones, like there was still some stuff that I got from it, even though I only watched it for a few months or whatever. I mean, there was still some stuff you get from it. It got me a little motivated to at least want to speak. And look, I'm speaking now on the radio. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying it's Alex Jones. I'm just saying that you take a little bits and pieces from even people that are gatekeepers, and then you move on. You know what I mean?
And what's interesting about Alex Jones is that all he doesn't really do anything more than read the headlines of mainstream media news.
And make up his own headlines too.
Right. Yeah.
We tried to source them one day. I called into a show, and it was Chris Kendall and Marcus Allen. It was the first time I talked to these guys. It was like 2011. And I had mentioned how I, you know, had gotten past Jones and realized that he had like, you know, 50% true, 60% or 40% lies, whatever it was. And they were like, no, he doesn't even have 5% true. So we went and we looked at some of his headlines and we tried to source all the stories, and they all just came back to Prison Planet and InfoWars, like just making shit up out of thin air, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you can always, you know, even though you know these people are controlled opposition, you can always find kernels of truth in what they say by listening to what they want you to think, and by understanding what it is that they want you to think, you can understand what it is they're trying to do, you know, the agenda that's really driving them, you know. That's all useful information, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So back to your timeline of topics. So when you went to Zeitgeist 9/11, what was the next big event for you? Like, you know, for me, it was probably Sandy Hook and then Apollo and whatnot. What was it for you?
Yeah, okay, so Zeitgeist happened, and then I did deep research for a couple of years. Zeitgeist was around 2007. A couple of years, I just had a very slow time in my life. I had some personal problems to work out, so I spent a lot of time alone just doing a lot of research. But by 2010, 2011, I decided I needed to get out of the house and move forward in life, so I went back to graduate school. I graduated from college with my bachelor's degree in computer science from University of Massachusetts. So I decided to continue that education because I needed something to do. I was having trouble finding work, and I was born with disabilities, and I'm unable to drive, so my options were limited. But I figured this was a way to move forward because I needed to do something. So I went back to school, and that was around 2011, and I was going to graduate school, and I was working as a teaching assistant as well. As I ended up getting into human-computer interaction and started working in research for the MITRE Corporation. So I was doing this in fall and spring semesters, and then in my time off in winter and summers, I was dedicated to activism in my truth research because I had a lot of time to use up in between. And it was kind of interesting because my work at the university ended up colliding with my truth, you know, activism. I went down to a research facility while I was doing research for the MITRE Corporation, and they were looking at voting machines and trying to foolproof the voting machines. But I could see that it was an impossible task and that voting machines would always be rigged. So they were trying to study the problem of making voting machines unriggable, but it's kind of a ridiculous problem. It can always be rigged, you know. There's really no foolproof system.
Yeah.
And then I also did some research for that ended up getting published in the International. Hold on, Nick. Let me pull it up. Just 1 second.
Yep.
Okay. I co-wrote a paper. It's a research paper with other students at the university that was got published in the hold on, just make sure I get it right. Yeah, the International of course I can't remember it while I'm talking.
Okay.
It was basically an international conference for crisis response and management systems. We made an improvement to crisis response and management systems, but it was very interesting to look at the world of crisis response and how it works, because I started to see like crisis response management in the Boston Marathon bombing and all these things that happened. I started to see parallels about how controlled these things are, and they have, you know, there was all these you know, like the Boston Marathon bombing had drills running the same day, right? And it's the same as Sandy Hook. They always have drills running the same day. There's always all this stuff surrounding all these events. So I understood that Sandy Hook or like the Batman movie shooting or...
Oh, man, that was crazy.
And the Boston bombing.
Remember all the programming with that, too? Yeah. All the programming. That's crazy. No, I'd say remember all the programming with the Batman one? And
yeah, that was crazy.
The Little Wayne video and all that? That was crazy.
Yeah, and with Sandy Hook, you know, the author of The Hunger Games comes from the same town. I mean, like these things, you know. It's like, oh, it's all in your face. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I mean, the shootings are pretty obvious. So, like, after you got through Sandy Hook in Boston, I'm assuming that, you know, the other ones, Pulse and Aurora and all that, were kind of just...
It became obvious that these were all propaganda events and not actual events, you know.
Yeah, so, all right, on another note then, what are your thoughts on the moon landing?
Oh, the moon landing, well, this was very difficult for me because I was in computer science and getting my degrees in advanced science. So I really did believe in science because I thought science was objective. I thought science was the one place that you could go where human emotion and greed would not enter into the picture. It was science was just science, right? But I realized like NASA and all these organizations are not science. They're media. The media propaganda. More of the same.
What first got you to at least question NASA for whatever reason, whether it be satellites in space, the moon landing, the shape of the Earth? What was the first thing where you questioned NASA and then realized maybe to dig more?
That was another layered thing. I originally thought the moon landings happened, and then I realized the moon landings didn't happen, but I thought it was just because we were in a space race against the Russians and the United States just needed to fool everybody to believe that the United States beat the Russians in a space race. But beyond that, it was after you turned me on to Flat Earth, and that was a difficult pill for me to swallow, by the way, the Flat Earth movement.
I remember. I remember.
Yeah, but once I got a hold of, you know, a grip on that, it became very obvious that NASA was just another branch of Disney, you know, just a Disney animation studio.
Isn't it crazy now when you go back and you look at any of this stuff? It's like, how could I believe this? And then you can see how maybe you wouldn't pick up. I know that you or I would, but maybe some people wouldn't pick up on like the CGI eras and stuff right away. But what is just about the ridiculous stories that they come out with, like satellites that have been up there since 1977 or 13 billion miles away and sending back pitches on the fucking, I don't know, the intergalactic Wi-Fi network or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
they can get all these high resolution pictures of Jupiter and Saturn, but we can't take one single picture of, you know, regular picture of Earth, you know.
Yeah, and that's a big problem too when people say, well, they don't need to prove anything to you. Okay, well, even if you say they don't need to prove anything to me, if they simply put a camera on the moon and film the Earth, they could broadcast that 24/7 and just put advertisement on the bottom of it and make billions of dollars off it, and people would watch that all the time. If the Earth was really spinning on a video and I was just sitting in my house chilling, I'd probably have that on a lot. People would have it as their screensaver or their, you know what I mean? It would just be on all the time.
Right.
There would be no reason not to do it.
Right. It was very difficult to swallow that, though, because you think, you know, bigger, smarter people have figured all this stuff out, right, already. So, you know, you think, oh, if the Earth was flat, people would have noticed by now, you know. Bigger, smarter people would have noticed, but that's just not true.
Well, it just goes to show you how much of a psychological prison we're really in.
Yeah, it's quite daunting, actually.
Well, they really hold us down, and they make us think that they make us, in many respects, like how they tell you only use 10% of your brain and all this, they want to keep you from realizing your potential. Yeah. And they also, and this ties into it, like you don't have the potential that these people in the lab coats have. They're smarter than you, and they figured it out. And when you really start to look at it, like the stuff with NASA and whatnot, and people will say, oh, you just don't know science and this and that, it's really ironic because it's the other way around. They don't know the science, and if you try and prove any of these claims that they make, the science is absolutely not on their side. Real science. None of it. It's all bullshit.
Yeah, and actually, science is science, right? But what we're the people are being bombarded with is a type of like a magician type. What a magician does, like you can, they call it, they say these things in the name of science, but what they're doing is creating these illusions and then calling it science, you know?
Yeah, it's really, 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 really crazy.
The people who are enslaving us, they really know what they're doing. And they've been in charge. They've been running the show since the ancient civilizations. But, it's kind of interesting when you look at the bloodlines. Have you heard the Babylon Mystery Schools? I'm sure that's come up for you at least once, right? The occult and the mystery schools of Babylon and Illuminati and all this stuff, right? Supposedly the bloodlines have been handing ancient knowledge down from generation to generation that gives the people in charge an edge over the rest of us. The people in charge really understand how humans work, you know, and they exploit our weaknesses in our brainwashing. It's very hard to explain. It's like, you know, you do years of research and it's hard to just, you know, explain it out in 1 or 2 minutes, you know, but
well, a good way to sum it up is knowledge is power, and that's how they control us, and they keep that knowledge within their tight little circle.
Yeah, and they're very aware of how humans work and how they interact with each other, and they create a system that fills our needs and keeps us distracted, and it's working. It's definitely working.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so another topic I'm going to ask you about, obviously, because it's a topic I take great interest in. What are your thoughts on the Mandela effect?
My thoughts on the Mandela effect, that's more your subject. I do follow what you do. I haven't done a lot of research on my own, but I follow your shows, and I'm not sure what's going on there or what it is, if we're shifting timelines or shifting reality, but something's going on there. I remember Berenstain Bears was always Berenstain. It was never Berenstain. And the C-3PO leg was always gold. It was never silver. It was all these things. I'm not really sure what it is, though. So I don't
know. I think nobody really is.
I don't like to speak about it because I don't really know.
Yeah, nobody really knows what it is, but more or less what I was asking you is you do recognize that it's something that is happening, because you know if you pop in your Star Wars, he's going to have that silver leg, and that's just crazy. Whatever right. It is.
Yeah, there's definitely something going on there. But I really don't know what it is, and I can't speak on it because I don't know, you know.
Oh, that's fine. What else are you looking into now?
Right now, I was really diving deep into occult mystery schools of Babylon and just ancient knowledge and how knowledge has shifted over the decades and thousands of years. I went from, you know, the way knowledge has been controlled and the way it's been changing and shifting, and how knowledge has evolved throughout the ages. It's different. I have it on my wall. There's a lecture series by Mark Passio called Demystifying the Occult, and it has like a lot of information. But if you understand the occult, you can understand everything else about what the elites are doing. I'm starting to lose my voice.
Do you want to take a quick break and get a drink?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Okay. Stick with us. We're going to play a quick song. You listen to Dose of Reality, My Awakening, episode 19 with Simone Hill and Brian Stavely. And we'll be right back after this quick break, okay?
Bearing out that incredible moonwalk, did you find that the surface was equally firm anywhere, or were there harder and softer spots that you could detect? And secondly, when you looked out of the sky, could you actually see the stars and the solar corona in spite of the glare?
We were never able to see stars from the lunar surface or on the daylight side of the moon by eye without looking through the optics. I don't recall during the period of time that we were photographing the solar corona what stars we could see.
I don't remember seeing any.
Nine steps are what you take walking on the moon. I hope my legs don't break walking on, walking on.
This time I'd like to introduce the Apollo 11 crew. astronauts Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, Edwin Aldrin.
Bob, what the hell you doing? What the fuck does Stanley Kubrick have to do with astronauts and movement? Who the hell you fooling? Fuck you and this whole stupid flat earth movement. Well, you don't like assuming if the science proven. You a college student shouldn't be assuming. Green screen, soundstage, soundproofing. Time to film a movie, shoot. Gotta use my tools in a glass case. Astronaut suit, footprint, don't match the boot. Been to the moon once and ain't been back since. And I'm just trying to figure out where the tax dollars went. NASA.
You want me to knock you in the head? Well, I want you to swear to God on the Bible that you walked on the moon. If you walked on the moon, we're given the opportunity to swear to God that you walked on the moon.
We give you the opportunity to be knocked out of this room. Please do.
Not a huge fan of the award for the best rapper, but they give the Moon Man award to the best actor. Guess who must go straight to the source? Let's ask NASA. How do you explain the occurrence of lunar waves? Why do we only see one half of the lunar phase? How do you explain air bubbles you view in space? Why is it so important to lie to the human race? Million-mile internet that travels light years, but they can show a space shuttle re-enter the atmosphere. Okay, to blast off, you gotta practice Freemasonry, an acronym that stands for Not a Space Agency.
Some may say, I'm wishing my days away. No way. And if it's the price I pay, some say.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality. This is My Awakening, episode 19, where I interview various researchers in the different communities. Today, my guest is Simone Hill, and we are just back from the break. Simone, how you doing?
I'm doing better, thank you.
All right, if you have a sore voice, I mean, we don't have to go a full hour. It's up to you.
It's fine. It's just it's the constant strain. It's the straining of my voice when I talk constantly. When in a normal conversation, I can speak fine. It's the constant, you know, like when it's a one-sided thing and you have to constantly speak, my voice gets run down quickly.
Wow, that's the first time I ever had somebody tell me I don't talk enough. It's a one-sided conversation. No, I'm just kidding. So we were talking about the occult now, and that's what you've been looking into a lot. Too bad Justin's not here because Justin was really good.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say that I learned so much from him. It's through my conversations with him that I really dug deep into those topics. You know, it's all due thanks to him.
Yeah, he was very knowledgeable of it. For people that don't know Justin is my co-host that passed away last year. Justin and Simone have been friends for a long time as well. He was really good with the occult knowledge. All right, Simone. So how has it gone with you trying to tell people in your personal life about your opinions on these things? How has it taken other people?
Yeah. I'm very lucky. My mother was like a protester in the 60s. She used to protest against Nixon, and so she's always been kind of anti-establishment, so it's very easy to talk to my mother about anything, even when she thinks I'm nuts. She doesn't mind, you know. But with other people in my life, the response has been quite different. I remember having a Thanksgiving dinner on my father's side of the family, it was the Thanksgiving right after 9/11, and I was already starting to ask questions about what was going on, and and I realized there was a propaganda angle when they so quickly realized who the enemy was and exactly who they needed to wage war against before all the facts had really come out. You know, they already pinpointed an enemy, which was a big red flag right there. But at this Thanksgiving dinner, certain relatives got extremely upset and walked away from the table and pretty much told me, you know, shame on you, you know. And I've gotten that response quite a bit from quite a lot of people. And it used to bother me a lot more, but now it just rolls off my back. I kind of laugh, you know.
Yeah, I got that a lot too, but now I don't get it as much. Now, especially my mother's side of the family, they're very open and have been asking me questions about these types of things. So that's been really cool. What else was I going to ask, Nesk? Hang on one second. So what steps would you like to see people take? Like, you know, just to be more open-minded or, what steps would you like to see people take?
Well, it's kind of an interesting thing to think about. Anytime you have a movement or, any group or a movement speaking for others, you're going to have problems. You can never really have a movement with a leader that's not going to get corrupted, So I'm not sure. People just have to take responsibility for their own education is really what it comes down to. people have to want to wake up, or else they're just never going to wake up.
Yeah. What about a couple other topics I want to ask you your opinion on? Medical industry, vaccines, and chemtrails, in whatever order you want, because I know those things kind of all relate to health and whatnot. So
yeah, the medical industry is definitely corrupted. I had a grandmother who was a nurse for 30, 40 years, and she was trained way back in the 30s and 40s before the pharmaceutical companies really took over. And they used a lot more natural remedies back then. And over her career, she noticed more and more pharmaceutical solutions were taking place of natural medicine and natural remedies, and the patients were not better off, and the costs were going up and up and up over the years. Vaccines. At first, the science. I thought the science was objective on vaccines, but the more I looked into it, the more I understand that the vaccines are a cocktail of toxins that should not be in any human body, and much less, these days they're injecting babies with like 15, 20, vaccines in a baby, and the amount of vaccines that are being injected into a baby, if you scaled up like an adult human and to give them the same exact proportions that a baby is getting, it would be like ridiculous, mass poisoning, Like the amount that they're giving a baby, if you scaled up to an adult and gave the adult the same dosage, scaled up, it would be a ridiculous dosage, It's a small dosage because it's a baby, but it's very, but they're like giving them 20 different injections,
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right, the amount of mercury, the amount of stuff that they're injecting into each single baby is ridiculous. It should be common sense that this is not natural.
It's crazy. I see people that go, even the other thing, not just like the vaccines, but like the flu shot or whatever, which is same ballpark, same idea. The flu shot that adults get, like I'll hear people tell me, oh, you getting your flu shot? I'm not getting my fucking flu shot, right? And be like, oh, I'm going. I heard a dude at work say this a few weeks ago, right? This is like a week before he's getting his flu shot. He's like, I'm going to get my flu shot on Tuesday. So about 4 days after that, I'm going to be really sick for a week. And I says to him, I said, well, why the fuck are you going to go get the flu shot to go get sick? I said, I'm going to be right here. I'm not getting the shot and I'm not going to be sick. What is wrong with you, guy? Like, it's crazy the logic people have behind it, isn't it?
Yeah. The flu shot, there was one doctor that I listened to. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but one doctor, she seems to really know what she's talking about when it comes to vaccines, and she said that the immune system doesn't work that way. You can't just inject a dead virus into your body to fight a disease, because the disease doesn't enter your body through your bloodstream. It enters your body through mucus and other natural pathways.
Yeah, mucus.
Yeah, mucus and skin. And so when you inject these things directly into the bloodstream, it doesn't work the same way. It's not building up the immune system, it's breaking it down.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know for me, like when I first started looking into things, for me it was 9/11, and right when you start looking into 9/11, did you see shows like you know, Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory show.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you must have been brought into the idea of chemtrails and whatnot back at around the same time, if not earlier.
Yeah, and chemtrails is really not, it's not up for debate. There's plenty of resources that are public resources, state-funded resources for cloud seeding programs. They openly admit it. It's just that most people aren't aware of it. But if a lot of people are saying that, oh, you're wearing a tinfoil hat, those are contrails, blah, blah, blah. But you point out to them cloud seeding programs. It's been around for at least 30 years or more that they've been spraying stuff into the skies and modifying the weather. And they have weather modification bills passed in Congress, but people don't, you know, they're not paying attention to what's going on, you know?
Yeah, and there's so many uses of it too. There's the cloud seeding, which openly admitted. I mean, not, you know, they don't go on TV and talk about it, but I mean, there's plenty of documentation. But now they're coming straight out and saying that they're going to start doing something that we know that they've been doing for a long time, and they're going to stop blocking out the sun with chemtrails. And how long have we all been saying this, you know?
Yeah, they're supposedly fight, you know, global warming. We're going to block out the sun. So I don't know how well that's going to work, though, you know?
Yeah, I don't know either. People, it's crazy that people don't look into that at all.
Really is, because they're breathing toxins and injecting toxins into their bloodstream and drinking toxins through their water supply. Did you hear the story about in Massachusetts? I think it was a year ago. They were dumping fluoride into the water. Right, this fluoride was coming from China, and a police officer in Massachusetts had said that they were not testing the fluoride that they were buying from China before they were dumping it into the public water supply, and that they realized that the Chinese people were basically poisoning the fluoride that we were ordering to put into our main water supply, and they were just dumping it in without actually checking that it actually is what they say it is, you know?
It's crazy.
It's insane.
So let me ask your opinion on something. And I speculate on this topic a lot, and it's fine if you don't have a solid, you know, whatever. I just want your opinion.
Okay.
Do you think the main agenda or agendas of chemtrails are? Do you think that to slow kill people? Do you think that to genetically modify people? Do you think that to GMO crops that are supposed to be organic? Do you think that some of the things that I talk about, like block our collective consciousness or to project things in the sky on? I mean, what are your opinions on chemtrails? And it can be a multiple of things, because for me it is, for sure, you know?
Well, I do think it's part of a soft kill program. Like, they call it a soft kill, meaning they make people sick and then they drive up healthcare costs when people go to, you know, have their symptoms suppressed at the medical industry from the you know, the symptoms that are being created by breathing all these toxins in the air and the water supply and everything else. I do think the people in charge are very clever, and they usually have, if they can kill more than two birds with one stone, I think it's probably the deal with chemtrails. If they're killing multiple birds with one stone, there, I don't really think they really care about the well-being of people. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to kill all of us, because they need their slave supply. You know,
Exactly.
I do think they're soft killing us, but not. You know, the apocalyptic doom, you know, scenarios, I don't think they're going to do that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to ask you a few more questions before we wrap it up. Okay.
Okay.
Well, before I even get to those questions, you talked about the occult, Simone, because we still have like 20 minutes if you're up for it. I mean, you talked about the occult when I asked what other topics you're looking into. Are there any other topics you've been recently looking into that you want to talk about?
Well, the occult has so many branches and other areas of knowledge, and it's kind of all interconnected. So I've been studying Freemasonry on top of occult mysticism, as well as all these different philosophies that have gone on through time since ancient civilizations like ancient Egypt and ancient Greece, like, for example, Hermeticism. There's all these different, there's like lots of big fancy words I can't remember off the top of my head. But like I said, that lecture series by Mark Passio is a good starting point for going deeper into that. He has a series called demystifying the occult, and it really goes into what's going on there. It's kind of interesting because they break down knowledge into two major areas. What's happening on the inside of a human being, the way a human being works on the inside, and then the outside world. And they control the world by understanding how humans navigate the world that they're in. You know, it's a very, like, a symbiotic relationship between environment and the way humans work and the way humans behave and the way humans think. It's like they've broken the human being down to the point of understanding a human being like a machine, to even be able to program a human being with mind control.
Oh, and they're doing that all the time, as we see with their indoctrination.
Yeah, systems. It's just like all these government studies, they have a very scientific method for breaking down a human mind so they can basically wipe the human brain like a hard drive, wipe it clean, and then refill it with what they want to fill it with. They can program somebody to have multiple personalities it's quite amazing what they can do to a human being. But when you understand how a human being works and then understand why they develop our environment the way they do, you really understand slavery in general, you know? It's like slavery on steroids, you know, it's the science of slavery.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, the whole, they never, yeah, slavery has just expanded to the whole world. I mean,
it's
really crazy too, because people, well, you can say people don't see the bars, but it's like, how do people not see that half their money's being stolen for taxes and some of the more obvious things? Like, and you have to pay it; it'll take it by force. You know what I mean? Like,
Speaking of, that's another topic right there: the money supply, right? The Federal Reserve. A lot of people aren't even aware of the central banking system, and you know, they hear that, and they just think it's a bureaucratic, you know, a bureaucratic administration kind of a thing, but the central banking system is public enemy number one in this world. They're responsible for every war in human history. They fund both sides of every conflict, and they always win, and they always get their money back. And what they've done to the American people is they've taken the power to issue money away from the U.S. Treasury and transferred it over to the central bankers. They print money out of thin air. They can just print dollars without backing it up with anything of value at all. And they sell it. They sell these valueless pieces of paper back to the American people in exchange for bonds, national bonds. So we get them U.S. Treasury bonds, and they give us printed monopoly dollars, right? And they charge us tax on every dollar that's printed. So the debt, national debt, can never be repaid, because the debt will always be bigger than the money supply. Because for every dollar that's printed, they charge interest on it.
Yeah.
And it should be common sense that you can never repay the national debt, but people don't even know how money is created, you know? They don't know how money works. They just, you know, they just know they have to make a paycheck, but they don't understand what's happening.
It's crazy. The money system is big for a lot of people. I think that's when I did RD's interview. I think that's what he said his original – I don't know if you remember RD's interview, but I think that's what he said his awakening thing was the – you know, his moment for him. You know, like yours was Zeitgeist. I think he said his was the Federal Reserve and the money system.
Yeah. And so not only do they print money out of thin air and charge us an interest on every dollar that's printed, but they also convinced us to pay income tax after World War II. Before World War II, income tax was, you could do it if you wanted to. If you were, like, you know, a very patriotic person who wanted to give back to your country, you could pay your income tax, but you didn't have to pay income tax. After World War II, it became mandatory. It was no longer an option. So you charge interest on every dollar that's printed, and then you charge tax on every dollar you make on income. And then you charge again tax on every dollar you spend.
Take it back on the other end. They got it going around in circles.
Yeah, so they get a little piece of the pie at every stage of the pipeline, the economic pipeline. You know?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Yeah, that's a big one for a lot of people. Have you looked into, all right, let me ask you a question, and you can pass if you want. Are you religious at all? And if so, why or why not? And if you don't want to answer it, that's fine, because I know some people might not want to answer that.
I would say I'm spiritual. I think we're more than just the physical. I don't think we're just the physical without something bigger. I think exactly. We are energy, and energy is neither created nor destroyed, but only changes from one form to another. So I think there's something more to us than our physical, you know, vehicles of our body. But at the same time, you know, organized religion, it's just more of the same, you know, as government and, you know, everything else. It's just more mind control. And if you look at the Catholic Church and, you know, their problem with pedophilia, and a lot of other religions have problems with hypocrisy and killing in the name of their God and all these other problems. So I would say stay away from organized religion. But I do think there's a lot more going on than what we can see with our senses. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that science tries to hide the most, isn't it? That there's another side. It's a spiritual thing. It's always got to be an equation to explain something, or, you know, it's just a phenomenon, and, you know, it just lines up because it does, and, you know.
Right. But, you know, the people in charge, the people who went in the show, the people who study occultism and pass down this knowledge and the bloodlines, they're aware of a spiritual world, too. They're very aware of it, and they're trying to hide it from people. And people mm-hmm. are... We're in like a humanitarian crisis at this time, because the majority of people are not spiritual at all. They're not moral. They're hyper focused on consumerism, just consume, and feeding their ego. It's like everything is about ego and distraction, and they're not developing spiritually. And I wonder what, you know, what's happening there. And, you know, after people die, are they harvesting people's souls? I mean, what's going on there? You know. I'm not really sure what's going on there.
We don't know what happens there. We don't happen there. And I'm glad you brought up that, because people always, this is why I like to talk to people like you and other people that look into different topics, is I can't stand people that think, you know, the only topic that's important is what they're researching and that's the ultimate truth, because there is no ultimate truth. I mean, even if, you know, say, you know, the Mandela effect is real, or you know, the earth is flat, or you know, all these other topics we talked about, or you know, all shootings are fake and this and that. You still don't know what happens after you die. You don't know how you got here. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you don't know.
Where,
that is
where does this all come from, and where is it all going? It's I keep wondering if they have, you know, if they know something more about that than we do, and they're hiding it from us, because that would sure be useful information to know and understand where we come from, why we're here, and where we're going, you know.
Well, that's what I speculate is probably the main agenda behind the whole globe lie, you know.
Right, exactly.
Is to hide that, because that brings a lot of people closer to the idea of creation and whatnot, you know. Yeah. And there's a million other motivations, of course, with control and money and power and hidden land and wherever you want to go with what you believe. Because when you talk about flat Earth and stuff, people have different beliefs, and I wish more people would be accepting of that. We don't all believe the same thing. We don't all believe in a dome. We don't all believe in no dome. We don't all, you know, everybody in every community should be like that. And I know you're like that. You never criticize people, Simone. If we're all looking into the same topic, well, that's great. Well, at least we're looking into this topic. How the fuck do people expect we're all going to agree on every facet of each topic we look into? We're not robots, and we don't want to be, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you have to talk about these things, and you have to bring them out, you know, you have to confront them and deal with them. And a lot of people, you know, they just, you know, they don't see what what they want to see is what a lot of people are coming from. It's very hard to get a person to overcome their ego and to learn to understand, you know, how to see.
It's weird when people can't see that they might be mistaken. Like, for instance, let's say the two big topics I look into right now, everybody knows what it is. I look into flat Earth and Mandela effect a lot now. So let's say either whichever side, and I know I have listeners from both, so I'm going to present it both ways. You could show a person that believes in the globe 99, 100% proofs of a flat Earth, and then there's that one thing that would work on both models, or that you can't explain just because we don't know yet, like say the tides or something like that. Yeah. And then they'll just, oh, you can't prove this, so I live on a ball. But what about the other 99 things? Same thing with the Mandela effect. Like, you just agreed C-3PO is all gold. Ed McMahon worked for Publishers Clearing House. Boom, 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 boom. But this one change you don't agree with, you always remember it the other way. So you're going to say that the whole thing's bullshit after 99 fucking times you just agreed with it? Like, I don't know how people don't think, whoa, how could I, why do people want to make excuses to back up their beliefs when they know that they're lying to themselves. That's what I'm trying to say.
It all goes back to the ego. People don't want to admit that they've been fooled. They don't want to admit that they can be fooled. It's kind of strange, though, because they would cling to a lie just to prove that they can't be lied to. It's very strange, you know?
Yeah, it's very strange. They go into full-on defense mode, and it's like this with a lot of topics, you know, and I'm sure. And there's communities that I'm not in, and, you know, so I'm not going to speak on. Like, I don't know the vibe of the community, but I'm sure this goes on in all the communities, you know, from all the big topics that people look into, these type of behaviors that people go on. And it's very, I don't know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm glad you're not like that.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I was saying before. They understand how a human works. And that's why, you know, our televisions and radio shows and all the media and everything that, you know, our fashion industry, it's all geared towards ego and distraction. It's, they understand how humans work really well, and they know that if they keep people distracted with ego and me, that it's a very effective tool for keeping people asleep, you know, sleepwalking.
Yeah. Everything's filtered and controlled. And for people to think, oh, and censored. Everybody thinks that, oh, you're in the United States, it's not censored. But we'll look at it this way, right? There's subjects, you know, and I'm not going to say the words right now. There's a few big ones, you know, that if we talk about them right now, they're going to get yanked down off this channel. So then there's some people who say, well, it's YouTube's platform. They can do what they want. But they go out and tell you that they express that you can express free speech and your own opinions and this and that. But yet they'll keep censoring me. So I would be forced to go the way I just used to always do it on my website, which is great. And people that follow it, that's awesome. But you're never going to get the big following that you deserve or that you should at least be entitled to have the potential to try and get, because they'll censor you. They'll do the same thing on Facebook. They'll do it real quick, as anybody knows. This, I think Facebook, they'll just mock anything as spam. You know what I mean? But YouTube's issuing 90-day bans on shit. And it's just – it's crazy. You don't, and then if you people talk about all the, so if you want to talk about the media, like if you have a real story, Simone, that goes against the narrative, you can't put it in the media. That's why people are like, well, if the earth is flat, why haven't scientists come out and say it? Well, even if there was one that was going to say it, he's not going to be able to say it. And if he did, you know, it got out somehow, he's done.
Again, that goes back to how humans work. And the occultism, they seek, you know, outside leadership and authority. A lot of people can't think for themselves, so they look to authority or leadership, and they look to the scientists, you know, people smarter than me have already figured it out. So they look to those people as the authorities on the truth, and they you know, people are unable to think for themselves, you know.
Yeah, well, it's very sad, but that's why I'm glad we have forums like this so we can all come out, talk about the topics we talk about, share our ideas, and, you know, you might watch an interview and it piques your interest and contact that person, or they might watch this and, oh, you looked into this, so let's talk about that. So I think that it's good. I want to ask you, like, two more questions, and then we'll wrap it up. Is that cool?
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay. Why did you decide to do this interview?
Why not? I think it's a good thing that you're doing. You're documenting people's story at a very interesting time in history. You know, this is a time of mass deception, and some people are you know, they're lifting the blindfold and looking around. And I think that's a very important thing to document, you know. And we're all on different paths, and a lot of people, they don't seem to understand how education and learning and human works, you know, the human mind works. You know, they get very caught on, oh, I have the truth. And I'm the only one who's got it all figured out, you know. And they don't understand that people, you know, they work in stages. They have to be introduced to things in stages. And they don't understand that they themselves might be flawed, you know. This idea of multiple awakenings goes over the heads of some people. You know.
It's an awakening process. It's not you're awake when you flip on some switch and then you know
you flip on a switch and I'm awake. It's like a lifelong like process of growth, you know.
Exactly. It's definitely a process. And there is a lot of people with that arrogant attitude, oh, because they know this or they know that they, you know, that they're just assholes to everybody, honestly.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to put it.
You can't have a normal conversation with people like that. Yeah.
No, you can't. You've seen some of the comments I get, like the one yesterday. I'm not even going to read it on the air, but I'm a terrorist and I need to be institutionalized because I said the Statue of Liberty used to be on Ellis Island and Mr. Rogers said it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Like, really, dude? I mean, that was, you know, crazy.
Yeah, you read some of these comments and you're like, you're losing brain cells as you're reading them, you know. I feel like I get dumber sometimes talking to these people, you know. The stupid spreads, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so lastly, is there any information you want to leave people, like, to contact you, like a Facebook link or an email, or are you not into that?
You can find me on my Facebook wall.
Okay,
so really where I put most of my where I voice most of my things, you know. I don't have a website or anything right now, so I just have my Facebook wall.
All right, and guys, she's always pretty active in my Facebook group, too. That's always linked in the show notes. You just got to kind of scroll near the bottom. It's after, you know, everybody's channel, Paul and Gloria, my links and this and that. There's a link for the Facebook group, so we're both in there. And I'll add Simone's link to her Facebook profile page into the notes after we get off the air. And for everybody that's listening, I'll probably be back at some point today or tonight with another show. I have a lot of Mandela Effect stuff to talk about and some other things. Simone, thank you so much for coming on. It was really awesome. And since I've known you for so long, it was really important for me to get your story. I'm really glad that you did. Thank you.
I think that went well. It started off a little slow, but you know, I think that was a good show. And thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay.
All right, everybody. You've been listening to Dose of Reality, My Awakening, episode number 19, Simone Hill with Brian S. Stavely. Make sure you check out the My Awakening playlist where I have all the interviews, all 19 of them from people in different communities. She wasn't on video, but most of them, 90% of them are on video. Also, all my regular shows, plus those Awakening interviews, are also on my Dose of Reality playlist. All my shows are there, all my videos. I do a show every Saturday, usually at 2 p.m., with Paul Knight and Gloria Cannata usually. And we talk about all different topics. We usually do a 2 to 3 hour show. And I do shows pretty much every other day now, it seems. So I'm doing 1.5, 2 hour shows all throughout the week. Make sure you sub the channel, sub the backup. So when I get banned, you got it. Follow my website, therealnewsonline.com. And thanks again, Simone. Thanks everybody in the chat. I'll see you guys later today. Make sure you sub both channels. And that's about it. I'm out. Thank you, everybody.